Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fly ball toward right. Cooper is there. Riley's tagging. There's the catch. Here he comes. Throw coming toward the plate. It is online, but it's late. Sack fly for Flowers, and the Braves have broken through. 1-0.
Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and that's all you needed last night for them Braves. Wasn't nothing.
Morning.
Country old pitcher's duel. You know who that was? That was my tribute to Larry Munson.
really?
Yeah. Which okay. gives you an idea.
Yeah, really.
That's kind of like Larry Munson, isn't it? I remember when he used to do a show here with another friend of the show, Jeff Van Olt.
Okay.
And they were always going after country hams. I never had a country ham in my life. I have ham, but that was always Munson's favorite. I got to get yourself a country. He'd bet him a country ham. All right, Noter, I'll bet you a country ham. I'll never forget that. Anyway, morning, everybody.
Morning.
Listen, we hope you guys are doing well. Let's take a second before we get into the sports and hope that your area is not underwater. There's no trees blocking your driveway or your streets.
That's some of that happening in the area.
Man, it was just, we got kicked in the you-know-what yesterday. Mother Nature, again, showed us who's running things.
Right about the time we got ready to leave or thought we were going to leave.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Or thought we were going to leave yesterday.
We had a nice little party up here with
Hugh Douglas.
Hugh Douglas.
And John Fricke.
We found out about Hugh and his son, how they train.
Yep. I mean, we're doing all this because we didn't want to go outside.
Nah, it was.
I mean, a dark cloud rolled in right as we were getting ready to hand off to Sports Insiders.
Yeah,
we're not going out in that.
Dorothy had little Toto in the front of the bike, and they were like flying by the ninth floor. I said, no, I'm not going out there. And, of course, both of us leave the umbrella.
How about that?
Or the bumper chute.
How about that?
In the car.
Yeah.
Is it bumper chute?
I don't know if they call it that. But, I mean, they're flash flood warnings around the region. So just be mindful of that wherever you are, and there's still more rain. Reportedly on the way, so we'll be on the lookout.
But not as much as yesterday. The majority of it has moved on.
Yep.
Give your friends a call up there in South Carolina or North Carolina. Let them know what's coming.
It's moved on out to the coast. But
it
came through yesterday and just, you know, there was the water standing on the interstate. I mean, places.
It was just nasty. And there was nothing. Here's the other thing, too. It looked cool yesterday.
Yeah.
It got down in the 60s for a minute. I enjoyed that. That was one of the better benefits of yesterday.
Better parts of it.
Because, oh, my goodness gracious. Anyway, it's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game, and at some point, .com. And at some point here in the next little bit, I'm going to get Mr. Crenshaw to throw out his Sunday, or game day Sunday morning, because we have got Game 6 tonight. Stanley Cup Finals, Boston at St. Louis, pregame 7:45. And face off at about 8:20, 8:30, something like that. And we will be talking not only a little bit of NHL, but yesterday we had, when it comes to NHL voices in the city.
Right.
Dan Kamal is the one.
Absolutely.
And he's our Vin Scully, and he comes on here. And we had some questions about what happened in Game 5 and the penalty that wasn't called and all of that. So Dan broke down the finals in a way that we haven't had. I mean, there may be other people on the station who have done it or had guests on the show, but we haven't had that. So we're going to replay that.
And not just that, but the officiating. And it kind of like the officiating rears its ugly head again.
It did. Yep.
We've had that in so many sports, it seems like, in the last, 8 to 10 months or something. You can almost go back and think of big games, big events, and officiating played a pivotal role in the outcome of that. And, he feels the same way about what's happened with officiating in the Stanley Cup Finals. And you think about these are big events. We talk about the Final Four. We talk about NFL playoffs. We're talking about, things that happened in these NBA Finals. We haven't had a lot of bad stuff in the NBA Finals. But still, these officials are supposed to be the best of the best. You're supposed to earn your way into officiating, these high-profile events, these championship events, which have the best players and the best teams, with the best officials.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're absolutely right. But maybe the NHL has done the same thing that some of the other leagues have done. And when the bad calls have come up, what did we talk about going back to the NFC Championship? It wasn't that they had bad officials. They didn't have their team. So it's you cherry pick of whatever. I don't know how many people are an officiating team. But when they do a game, there's what? A half dozen officials?
Yeah.
So they take the one or two that are best from that crew and then another crew. And then another crew, and don't they put them together like an all-star team?
Like an all-star team.
During the playoffs. And instead of working in concert with each other, which is what you do for those 16 games, these guys are just kind of like an all-star game. So it takes them a minute to get up and running, and sometimes calls fall through the cracks. I don't know if the NHL does that. I don't follow it close enough. But, yes, the officiating in 2018/19 in American sports has been one to scratch your head at.
Has it been the officiating or the fact of replay? Now that goes to the other thing about replay.
Oh, there you go. That's your thing.
Absolutely.
You think people are just like keeping their whistle in their pocket because they don't want to get called out on replay?
You know, you talk to people who have been officials and who've been officiating in the past and not doing it anymore. They're glad they're not officiating in this era.
True.
Because everything is so second-guessed, and you can go back and look at a replay and, yeah, you missed it. Right. In the past, you just missed it. Hey, I'm human. But now people expect something different because, you know, the evidence is there. And
speaking of which, and by the way, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I don't know how we started into this, but if you're just joining us, we're going to get into the Braves win last night as a pitcher's duel, yeah. French Open, Stanley Cup Finals, which we're going to have for you right here on the station. But when we started talking Stanley Cup Finals, we got into officiating, which brought us into a much bigger picture as far as officiating in American sports, and how that has dominated some of these big events this past year. Now, the one that you really hung your head on yesterday, so I'm going to leave the floor to you. You finished the show as we were talking about officiating and replay. You went, and nobody cares about the Belmont, which ran yesterday. How'd that turn out?
Sir Winston.
Oh, really?
Sir Winston.
I had some cognac with him last week.
Sir Winston was the winner. I don't think they found anything wrong with him. So he is your winner of the Belmont for whoever showed up and whoever watched it. You know what I mean?
I tried watching some of it, but then the race just took too long to come around.
I didn't watch it. I mean, the Braves
looked
were
on. Beautiful.
And the Braves had a, you know, well, that's nice.
It wasn't a mutter.
That's nice. but I was like, you know, I mean, it to me, it was like the sad end of the Triple Crown for this year. Just the sad end that nobody really watch, unless you're just a hardcore race or horse racing.
Yeah, they had the race fans. They had the horse racing fans there.
You know you feel bad for with this, you kind of feel bad for this, is Mike Tirico.
Why?
Because, first of all, he's been all over the place in the last few weeks. He's gone.
He's the lead announcer for NBC,
He's gone from Kentucky Derby. He had to go to Indy 500. He's been over to the French Open. He's come back to the NHL Finals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yesterday, I'm like, sad to come back to New York for this?
Hey, you know what? I beg to differ with your analogy.
I mean, he's getting paid very well.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about that.
He's getting paid incredibly well.
Well, I can say something about this. You'd rather have Mike Tirico and feel bad for him than your old boy, because I know you don't want to see him no more.
Costas.
Yes.
Costas.
I know you're done with Bob Costas.
If I
want
to see Costas, I got to go to the MLB Network and catch him on there. He's down there doing a game.
But I question why you call this, did you say the sad end to a racing season?
Yes, because.
Why? They got it right at the Derby. They used some tools that heretofore they haven't, but yet they still got it right. Had they not got it right, then that would be a problem.
It still was a problem.
Why was it a problem?
It turned into a circus.
But they got it right. At the end of the day, they got the call right.
People were screaming on social media that you guys messed up the Kentucky Derby. Messed up Kentucky Derby, and I mean,
geez, people on social media upset.
Yeah, that's a lot of folks. A lot of folks.
Yeah, okay. Well, welcome to the club.
You know what I mean? And that's the whole thing about it. Yeah, you do want to get it right, but
you got it right, man.
You do that for everything?
All right, here's the thing. This is my stance on most things. You can't be good, be interesting, and may you live in interesting times. Use the word twice, but that's the whole point. And if everything went the way it was supposed to, this would have been, you know, short of a Triple Crown winner, it had been a regular horse racing season. And there had been no stories. It had been completely forgettable. The only seasons we remember in horse racing are the ones where there's a Triple Crown, and we'll remember this year because of what happened.
Because of the disaster.
Exactly. So Tirico was a part of that, and that means his first opportunity going into the Derby as the, you know, filling in for Costas, it's something interesting. He will always remember that. And that's the way I look at it. I mean, yeah, it took a minute to come up with the winner, and they had to go through
the replay process, which everybody
made it interesting. Made it interesting,
but no, interesting, and then nobody shows up in Baltimore 2 weeks later.
Well, that happens regularly.
No, it doesn't.
Well, okay.
No,
shows up at Belmont. The Belmont is the one where
Belmont's
they don't show
the
up.
One at the end. But everybody, you know, whoever was a winner or your second place or was close contender, they show up in Baltimore the next week, either to try to knock off the horse that won, or if they were the horse that won, they want to try to make their way for the Triple Crown. All of that was gone.
Yeah.
All of that was gone.
I didn't lose no sleep over it, though, to be honest with you. Horse racing has gone the way of another sport we're going to talk about, but that sport seems to be on its way back, and that was boxing. Until recently, we said the same thing. You know, we're giving boxing's on an eight count right now.
Yeah.
And listen, when did we start paying attention to it again? What had to happen?
When we finally got somebody that we could identify with back in the heavyweight division. To me, when we got an American.
You sure it wasn't?
When an American got a share of the heavyweight division. To me, that was it. I mean, if you think it was, you think it was Mayweather?
I'm just saying there were people who didn't care about boxing that were watching it then. They came out from under the tent and they wanted to see what was going on. Even though it was a clown act, that you can put a pin in that is a seminal moment for boxing to kind of turn the corner. Because there were no heavyweights, and it was an alphabet soup division as far as the heavyweights. And Wilder kept getting hurt, so he wasn't fighting.
Well, he was just getting on the scene. I mean, but that's the thing.
I'm just saying, in the last few years, though, when since he brought the belt up here in that Pulp Fiction case, he's been getting hurt regularly, right?
Oh well, he's been getting hurt, or his opponents have had something. Either somebody's failed a drug test or something, and they had to postpone fights. And now, you know, thanks to what happened last week, we had the guy that looks like the Michelin Man win the
that's nice. We love him, Ruiz. Yes. Ruiz, you know, Jr. Why not, man? That's the John Daly of boxing now.
It looks like there's going to be a rematch, obviously, with him. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Last night, Triple G gets a win. And, of course, he's on the same digital boxing platform as Canelo Alvarez, so it looks like they'll get together. And that's a fight we look forward to, because those are two good fights.
Have to talk to our award-winning producer, Ken. And is it next segment we're going to revisit the Dan Kamal stuff? Yeah, so those of you who are hockey fans, believe it or not, we are talking hockey here for a little bit. We got the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. You can hear that game right here. It is Game 6. But we had a breakdown of what's going on in these finals by a guy whose opinion in hockey and knowledge of hockey is second to none here. You're going to hear from Dan Kamal again. That's coming up next segment. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Little over 9.5 to go in regulation time. Oh, and there's Bozak, and clicking down to the ice and shaking up on the play. Slow to get up as a charge. Meanwhile, it is Perron.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and what is turning out to be the most compelling series and event going on in the world of sports right now. And
how
I'm
about
including
that?
The French Open. I'm talking about what's going on. We don't get Tiger and those guys till next week with the PGA and
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open, excuse me. Now they moved everything up. I'm all confused.
Yeah, they turned them around.
And, of course, NBA playoffs. We have got hockey.
Yeah.
Probably, because, listen, when Sam and I left last week, by the way, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, you didn't think we would have hockey going on this weekend.
I thought it was all done.
And it looked like that. Boston came out of the shoot.
Only way to have another parade in Boston, and I'm like, it looks like there is hope.
There is stuff going on.
There is hope going on, but also some controversy.
Yes, and it gets into a bigger picture of things that we've been talking about as far as officiating throughout American professional sport. Actually, we shouldn't say he's professional because it happened in college, too.
Absolutely.
March Madness.
It's just, you know, and when we talked about it, we're going to get into something in just a moment. You're going to get here to hear Dan Kamal really kind of go in on it, on what happened as far as the Stanley Cup Finals. But it's because we have, I think, unreal expectations sometimes about the people who are in the officiating. And the thing of it is they're not supposed to be noticed. In a well-officiated game, you don't notice that they're there. They do their thing. They do their job well. And the game turns out and people are okay with the results. But when things don't go perfectly and there's a controversial call and a call where people feel like something's out of line.
Oh, and in this case, got the leading a leading score, and they ended up winning the game. St. Louis.
Yep. I mean, just has all kind of impacts. And you lose a player who's injured and has to leave the game So that's the other part that gets people upset and gets people all bent out of shape. How do you stop? You to me, you can't. If you got these athletes who do the things that they do and they're going at full tilt speed, things are going to happen quickly, and the officials can't always have that snap judgment right on it. Now, a lot of things lend themselves to replay. You get another look at it to help you figure it out, but still some people are not satisfied with the outcomes, especially what happened here with St. Louis and Boston.
All right, so we got game six tonight, but in game five, obviously the play that you just heard right now a minute ago, Chura was tripped by Tyler Bozak on St. Louis. Then St. Louis goes on and gets the goal, and they end up winning the game five. But the officiating for this finals gets you thinking about what has gone on, as I said a minute ago, in sports. In the last calendar year, we'll just say.
Yeah.
College and the pro level. But to get a breakdown as to how it happened and what's going on with the NHL finals, and we do this because we know there's a lot of hockey fans out there, and you never get enough hockey talk. But since we're bringing you game six tonight, Boston and St. Louis, pregame 7:45, face-off at 8:20. We want to give you an expert breaking down what happened, not only with that play, but what's going on with the series. Our own sports insider, Dan Kamal, of course, yesterday was his show. They come on at 8 o'clock to 9 with Dr. Dale Yake. This is the guy. I mean, he's been here calling hockey for, I don't know if he goes back to the Atlanta Knights, but he was doing Thrashers. And he's.
I go back even farther with him. I don't want to make him be that old.
Are you going to talk about the Calgary Flames? Are you going to do that?
No, I'm talking about, I go back with Dan Kamal.
That's what I'm saying, but are you going to talk about him?
Not Calgary Flames.
Well, that was the earliest hockey team here in Atlanta.
No, this wasn't in Atlanta. Who said they got to be in Atlanta?
Because we're talking about Atlanta. You see,
I've
known
Dan Kamal in a whole other life.
Well, you do, huh?
This was the early 80s in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Anything we talk about, or do we have to get a lawyer in here?
No. I was working at WHP TV. This was my first on-air assignment.
Well, hang on. Save that story, because people like to hear that. We want to hear from Dan first.
I'm going to tell you, but Dan Kamal was there.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
you interrupted. You got to finish the story. You and Dan.
No, I just
don't.
The team was the Hershey Bears, which, of course.
But they were tasty.
Well. They're actually a good team.
I love those on Easter. Get me a little Hershey chocolate bears.
You know what? That's the thing. If you go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, the lampshades, the light on the street lights are shaped like Hershey's Kisses.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it.
You walk out of that arena after watching that, and you sniff the air, and the air is just sweet. There's the smell of chocolate.
I was going to say, the same thing happens when you go to Amsterdam.
Really? Well, I don't know. I've been to Amsterdam. I smelled some other stuff when I was over there. But we won't get into that. Them coffee shops that don't sell coffee. So we can talk about what all you spell at Amsterdam. But anyway, that's why Dan Kamal was doing play-by-play for the Hershey Bears.
Okay.
Back in Hershey, Pennsylvania, back in the early 80s. So we've known each other for
making the point that he is the preeminent hockey
voice. Absolutely. He's been around. He's seen it.
Well, with this happening the day before our show yesterday, we got to talking about it, and Dan was coming in to prep for his show, Sports Insider, and he gave a breakdown of these NHL playoffs, and we would like to, excuse me, finals. And we want to replay what Dan had to say. Again, yesterday, here's Dan Kamal joining Sam McGregor, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We bring in the voice of Atlanta hockey. When we want to know something, we go to Dan Kamal. Man, educate us. Let's first of all compare what happened Thursday night. And again, it was between the players.
Bozak and Achari.
Bozak tripped.
Pulled the legs out from Noel Achari. Yes, Tyler Bozak.
That's usually a five-minute.
No, that's two for slew footing.
Say that again?
It's tripping or slew footing. Slew footing is the act of taking your stick and ripping your opponent's skates out from under him, because now the opponent, depending on how he's falling, is pretty vulnerable to hitting his head on the ice, which is what Achari did.
Right.
So they've put special emphasis on calling slew footing / tripping.
What slew? Where does that word come from?
I don't know where the phrase comes from.
Is that some Northern Canadian word?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I'll accept that.
But they are really focused on eliminating that from the game, which makes the non-call that much more mind-bursting. It is the referee's right there. You can see it in the replay as you're looking at Achari's face off to the right. There's the referee. Right there, sees the whole thing, doesn't make a call. The reason I think both Sam and Greg is that after game three, the Blues coach came out and whined about the officiating, saying, we're taking too many penalties. but I think some of those calls are a little iffy. I don't think this series is being called fairly. So the referees, instead of taking a blind eye and a deaf ear to those comments, I think took those comments to heart and have started to call the games differently. So to me, they've altered the entire complexion of the NHL.
But we hear that all the time, though, when it comes to coaches working the ref's ear. Are you saying that where it normally doesn't happen? I mean,
we've seen
that
some sports where
you see
a makeup call.
Listen,
sometimes in basketball, you know,
you see a makeup call in all sports.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, if calls can go either way and a person with no dog in the fight says, yeah, that could have gone either way, then you pretty much have no argument. But when a call like that is not made, not only do you have an argument, it's putting a stain on the game. You could legitimately say that the referees have multiplied times four what happened in the Saints-Rams game. They did it to the Stars. Excuse me. Did it to the Stars. Did it to the Avalanche. Did it to the Blues when they were playing the Sharks. Now the Blues survived that. And now they've done it to the Bruins. You could make a case that Dallas could have gone on to be the Western Conference finalist. You could have made a case that Colorado could have gone on. And now you can make a case if the Bruins lose, they could have won the cup, if not for the referees. That's too much getting in the way.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We needed to get an update on this. This is Dan Kamal joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, getting kind of a breakdown on what happened in game five, of the Stanley Cup Finals with Dan Kamal, who is the biggest hockey fan we know. We, of course, are going to have game six for you. Did I say game five? Okay. Game six.
No, you're right. It happened in game five. We're having game six.
We are going to have game six for you tomorrow night, meaning Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can hear it here. Pre-game 7:45, face-off at 8:20. But this was one of the most egregious non-calls in Stanley Cup Finals history, correct?
I would say so. Wow. Is the pollen season still going on? I would say so, but recent memory says yes. But I don't know. There were some pretty egregious ones probably back in the day.
Should they change some things? Is something they're doing differently? Is something they're not using? A resource is not available to them?
I guarantee you, when the GMs and owners and everybody meets in June at the draft, I guarantee you, officiating is going to be number one priority because it has been abysmal. At the biggest stage and the biggest time for the NHL. And you can't have that. NFL, okay, one egregious incident, maybe several, but none as big as the Rams Saints. But overall, not a bad season for the NFL. NHL, it's just been horrible.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That was Dan Kamal joining
us. And that's somebody who dearly loves the sport.
Ain't it, though?
But he's laying it out there that that's going to be the big topic of conversation when they all get together after this season.
Yeah, that was Dan Kamal joining us yesterday talking about Game 5. And as we get ready for Game 6, but again, tonight, 7:45 pregame, face-off at 8:20, Game 6. And listen, is there going to be retribution? Is there going to be – who knows?
Yes, the thing you
who
watch for.
Who knows? And this, you know, every time I get to talk hockey with Dan Kamal, somehow when it gets to officiating or bad calls, I get to pull out the one reference I love doing, and that's going back to when the Avalanche and the Red Wings used to go at it all the time. And Claude Lemieux took out Ken Draper.
Whoa.
And then the next, there was big, it's like a big fight at the next game because of what happened. And Dino Cicerelli, when interviewed after that next game, says, "I can't believe I shook that freaking guy's hand," which is a famous phrase.
Which is what you have to do when it's over.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Achari mentioned, you know, he's in concussion protocol.
Yes, so
that's the other thing that you watch. You're going at this, like, why that's such a big deal. You call it slew footing or whatever. You're yanking the skates out from up under a player, and they're kind of vulnerable. They can fall. They don't have a chance to brace themselves against the impact. And that's what happened to him. He hit his head, and now he's in concussion protocol. So you're losing one of your crucial pivotal players for Boston is going to be out.
One of the things that I noticed yesterday, and I was watching, and we're going to make a left turn, because we didn't talk much baseball, and we talked about the Braves and Teron getting it done yesterday. Just a pitcher's duel. But when I watched the NHL Finals right now, you notice that these guys a long time ago took care of something that Major League Baseball is on the fence with right now, and that's the netting, extending it out to the foul poles. All right, hockey had to do that because if a puck goes flying up into the stands, which it still does from time to time.
It does, but I believe
it has to be a pop-up.
It's a pop-up or it's along the sides.
Exactly.
On the ends where you're firing those shots. And I think kind of like what happened with the Cubs, a young fan got struck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that caused them to consider putting the netting up. So on the ends, they have the netting up that is protective for the fans. And I think that's because the puck comes so fast.
Oh, absolutely. But my point is that I saw it again yesterday in the Cubs-Cardinals game. And there was a line drive. In fact, it was Schwarber. And when he hit it, it was going foul, and it went past the netting, and he turned back real quick to, like, home plate and put his head down as if to say, I hope that didn't hit anybody.
Yeah.
And that's something that's still going on. And, again, it just sort of brought to mind. Hey, it hasn't lessened the enjoyment of NHL fans having that there.
No.
Folks going to get used to it. They put the netting out to the foul pole. It'll be great. All right, we're going to get in your wheelhouse up next. We're going to talk tennis. French Open is going on. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
And there's another Grand Slam champion from down under. And the forehand ends it, and the major winning streak for Djokovic is over, and Dominic Thiem has moved on to another French Open final.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Thanks to NBC Sports for keeping an eye on things at the French Open. New women's champion, Ashley Barty from Australia, and the setup is all set for the final. The men's coming up in a little over an hour. Dominic Thiem, you say, taking out Novak Djokovic yesterday, will take on Rafael Nadal later on today. Same matchup as last year's men's final as we talk some French Open here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Not a fan of the Joker.
Not a fan of the Joker.
I'm not a fan of the Joker. I'm just not.
You know what, though? He does some of the things a lot of people complain that tennis players don't do. He shows you how he feels. He plays with a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, and he shows you that. That ain't the reason why. You can watch him during the matches, and he's very expressive, and I think a lot of people are drawn to him because of that, because we've had guys like your Pete Sampras and guys who like just, don't let you know nothing's going on with them. They're just out there winning.
I don't mind the emotion. There's just something about that dude. And, but that's the way it is in sports. I don't have to have a reason why. There's people who you like. And there's people you don't like, and you don't know why
you don't like him. He's not doing anything bad. He's not doing anything wrong.
No, he's not, I don't think he's a bad person. I just think he's feeling his game.
He's not a machine either, though.
No, he's not. He's not Yvonne Lendl.
He's not that.
Not Steffi Graf.
You're right, right. That's the thing, that you do see some passion come through with him. So that's the thing.
What did I hear about this? Oh, yeah, it was like one of those on this date sort of things. But anyway, it was somebody who got the Grand Slam, but they didn't get it in the calendar year. There's only been like a couple people who've gotten the Grand Slam in tennis in the calendar year.
Rod Laver twice.
Yeah, wrap your mind around that.
Rod Laver not only did it once, but
he did it twice.
Yep. But this is the tournament usually trips people up is the French. You know what? I went through the list last night and I watched where the finals are. And right now we talked about the number of Grand Slam wins. Roger Federer at 20, Rafael Nadal at 17. He wins today. That puts him at 18, two shy of Federer. But all of the, it will be 12 on clay at this one particular event. If you scroll down and just pick one column, either the Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, or U.S. Open, you can tell where the Americans are because they got a goose egg in the French Open column. you can't. You scroll down. Here's a zero. Pete Sampras. Scroll down.
Not Agassi. Agassi got a zero. French.
Agassi does.
He
He's
does.
A rare,
he's got
but
the
I mean,
slam.
You scroll down. Jimmy Connors, zero. Yeah. You scroll down. John McEnroe, zero. I mean, that's those guys, as great as they were, never were able to win this tournament. And there's something about the way we approach the game in this country doesn't prepare us well for the clay. Today, Dominic Thiem is that up-and-coming guy who's cracked the top five. He's 25 years old. And this is the next thing, is for him to win a major and solidify the fact that he's going to be one of these guys. If Federer is getting ready to step down, who's the next person who's going to step in? They've been looking at this guy for some time. The thing of it is, he had to stop playing his match Friday because of the weather.
Right.
And had to come back yesterday and ground out a long 5-set win over Djokovic when he really, to me, really needed a day to recover and find somebody who can imitate Rafael Nadal before you play him.
Good luck with that.
But I'm just saying.
That's like being a person who has to imitate, you know, like, you know, pick the person, Jordan, or whoever you have to go up against.
You got to find.
You can't mock that.
But you got to find somebody that's going to at least, for a few minutes, whatever, hit you that kind of topspin and be a left-hander. Right. And that's just hard to find to get that. So he's going to get, you know, I'm sure he's found somebody to go out and try to imitate it for him before he goes out to play here in about an hour. But to me, that's the toughest thing about facing Rafael Nadal is finding somebody who could imitate his shot so that you can just practice on, you know, and so you have a half a chance when you get out there with him.
Let's talk about these women for a second, because I want to – this the one I was thinking of was Monica Seles.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, we know what happened to her.
Yeah.
But there's been a few names that have just, you know, they were
they come and go.
They were lightning bolts, and they came.
Martina Hingis.
That was another one.
Anna Ivanovic.
Capriati.
Yep. She had a whole lot of other stuff happening with her, though.
But still, she landed, and then she was gone.
She's a Hall of Famer.
Jennifer Capriati is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But Monica Seles, the ironic part was this was the date she won the French Open, which gave her, she had all four Grand Slams in her possession, but not all in the calendar year.
Right.
So the last person to do it on the women's side, Steffi Graf.
Absolutely.
Who I will say, as loud as anything, she is in that category with Tim Duncan and others who were all-time greats who do not get their due.
No, no, she gets the due from me, but I mean, I don't think she gets the due from a lot of people. It's just she doesn't seek it. Well, she's like Tim. She doesn't.
There's people
seek
who don't seek it, but yet they have it thrust upon them.
She doesn't seek it. You can't thrust it on if you don't see her.
No. I'm not talking about her particularly. People who have it thrust upon them.
But
she,
you
for
seldom
whatever
see
reason,
her. She stayed away for the longest.
You're
time.
Absolutely right. And here's the thing: of all the other people that we're talking about, she married another top player in her own sport, and yet she still. I mean, you hear more about Agassi than you do about her, and he can't carry her. You know what?
She got the bigger trophy case.
That's what I'm saying.
She got the bigger trophy case at the house, you know. But that's just to me. It almost wasn't about that, and she was going about it so fast, kind of like Tiger in his prime. We talk about now the second time around for him. He's stopping to smell the coffee a little bit more than enjoying, you know, what he's accomplished because he's got his family to share it with and whatnot. Steffi was beating people so fast.
She played tennis like Maddox pitched.
Yes. She flipped you the keys. Hey,
keep
the motor running.
I'll be right back.
She would win a major final, Wimbledon or French Open final, in a little over 30 minutes.
Yep. You're absolutely
just,
right.
The next one.
And she was hated initially because she did it to Steph. She did it to the Grand Dames. She did it to Chris Everett.
Yeah.
Did it to Martina.
Yep. Yep. She ran them out.
She came in like Jerry Jones and just kind of like got rid of all the old
Cowboys. She was a different athlete than they were. And that's the whole thing. That's why I wish that she could have played longer and played more against the Williams sisters, because she was that caliber of athlete. And I think she and Serena only got to play once or twice. And I'm thinking that's would have been great just to see that rivalry and see how that would have played out, the way the kind of player that Steffi Graf was. The thing that happened now is we'll see how long this French Open champion, and if she even what happens at Wimbledon. We talked about the women's tour, and it may be a while before we see that one dominant player. I'm going to give Osaka a little bit of a pass and see if she will eventually become that.
Having a sophomore slump, is that what you're saying?
Maybe this is not just her surface. Maybe she's gonna have that zero in her column. She just don't win. Just doesn't win French. But I mean, we've had you mentioned, you know, going back to Steffi Graf and going back to Martina and Chris, all back to Billie Jean King, and then coming forward to Williams sister. You always knew that one of those folks was gonna be around that last weekend of that tournament, and you don't know that now.
No.
You know, and we don't know if because everybody's bank account is nice and tidy or what it is that we're not seeing that. Or maybe that player just hadn't said, you know, I'm going to break through and make this mine, and every week I'm going to be there.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you are just joining us, Sam and I talking French Open. Got the finals today. And again, if Nadal wins, I said this to you before, he's number one across the board in my book.
On clay.
Period. No, period. And I'll tell you what. Well, of course on clay. Clay, that's an easy one. But he's still two Grand Slams behind the guy who's considered the best, and that's Federer. Federer's got 20. Nadal wins today, he'll have 18. And I put him over Federer because he's beaten Federer not only on this surface, but on grass. Federer has not beaten him on this surface.
No.
So those two extra ones, it's kind of like what we do about Margaret Court, who was sitting ahead of Steffi, sitting ahead of Serena for all those years, because she won all those tournaments on, you know, in Australia, correct?
Yeah.
But we knew that Steffi, in their prime, all things being equal, I keep saying Steffi, Serena would take her out. I actually believe Steffi would too, to be honest with you.
Oh, Steffi would too.
Yeah. So just because she has the number doesn't necessarily mean. You have to look at the surfaces in which they played. I just think that he wins today, we're looking at another all-time great. And it should be official. Because he's taken out the guy on multiple surfaces who's considered the best. And he just, you know, a little bit behind him.
You mentioned Margaret Court. She's the last Australian woman to win the French. Before Ashley Barty, who won yesterday.
We are going to talk more French Open. We're going to talk more NBA Finals. We got that. Hey, we might even dip our toe back into the NHL. But there's other sports going on. We're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, a chance at some jobs. Casting call. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.